Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever felt alone? There is a primal nature to loneliness and isolation. Perhaps you are out in nature and the only living things around are the plants and birds and squirrels. Perhaps you are on a boat out in the bay and there are other boats around, but no one nearby except the fish, hopefully, and the bait. Of course, sometimes that loneliness comes in a very different form. You're left without anyone around. Someone is missing, whether hurt or fallen asleep, whether because of random chance or something you did, or illness, or what have you. Suddenly, that loneliness becomes almost unbearable. How could this have happened? Where is everyone? Where were you, Lord? I think that question, more than any other, can run through our minds when something terrible happens. Where are you? But does God ever answer? You see, Job was a righteous, upright, honorable man at the beginning of the book that bears his name. Job sacrificed regularly, he trusted in God for all things, and had in turn been blessed by God for everything he could possibly need, and then so much more. He had sons and daughters, 7 sons, 3 daughters. He had cattle, he had flocks, he had wealth. Everything was looking good for Job. And then, all of a sudden, everything was taken away from him in a snap. His flocks were all stolen or killed or taken by raiders. His children were all caught up in a calamity as the oldest one's house fell on all 10 of them, killing every single one in a single moment. And all of that happened, or at least he found out about it, in the space of a day, maybe like 2 hours between the messengers who came. No wonder Mrs. Job tells him to just curse God and die. Here is Job, upright, faithful, and he just lost everything. And on top of that, it's only about a week or so later that his health very suddenly, overnight, deteriorates. He develops sores all over his body, so that in the end, he is left sitting on the side of the road in the dust, scraping at his sores with a potsherd because they itch so badly. Where are you, God? Well, while Job is wallowing in his misery, 3 of his closest friends come to console him about everything that had happened to him, all of this misfortune and disaster that had befallen him, his family, his household. And they sit with him for about a week or so, just sitting in sadness, grieving with him. And then when Job starts talking, their consolation of Job takes the form of victim blaming. You see, they say, if Job was really as upright as he claimed he was, none of this would have happened to him. After all, God doesn't punish the innocent. If he's punishing you, then you must have done something wrong. Because, after all, God's justice is perfect and absolute, so it must be your fault that you are suffering like this. With friends like these, well, Job's response to his friends is to protest his innocence. He argues that he hasn't done anything to deserve all of this. He does do the good that's placed in front of him to do. And yet, God doesn't always punish the guilty. Sometimes the guilty do still get off scot-free. But for himself, he hasn't done anything worthy of this punishment, and yet he doesn't have any advocate for himself to plead his case to God. Where are you, God? Why won't you answer me? Well, how very like Job we are, at least when things seem to be going against us. When we see evil people doing well while we struggle, how often do we question God's justice in allowing the wicked to prosper and us to suffer? When we feel that we are suffering unjustly, we can start to question God's love for us. When you've seen someone suffering, on the flip side, have you had that very thought? This is karma. I bet they did something to deserve whatever this is. Oh, she must have been asking for this to happen to her. How often do we make such demands of God? Where are you, Lord? And yet, what is God's response? Well, for Job, for the longest time, God does not respond to Job. All of the disaster happens in chapters 1 and 2. It's not until chapter 38 that God finally appears to respond to all of Job's whining. God's first question to Job is, where were you? Verses 2 and 3, God speaks out of the whirlwind and says, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you make it known to me. It's as though God were to say, you answer my question, and then I'll answer your question. And so God runs down everything that he did in creation over the next four chapters. Where was God? Where was Job while all of this was happening? Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Who determined its measurements? Who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Who shut in the sea? Who prescribed limits for the sea? Who commands the morning, causes the dawn to know its place? Have you entered the springs of the sea, walked the recesses of its depth, something that we still have not done to its entirety? Who has learned the gates of death? And then moving forward, after this, God continues beyond the reality of the world and creation to specific animals and creatures, behemoth, leviathan. Does Job understand how it was that God created all of these animals, how they exist? Where was Job when God performed all of these great works? Job is a mere mortal. He wasn't born yet when God set the universe in motion. Who is Job in comparison to God? For that matter, who are we? On listening to God's response, Job finally recognizes that he is not the one to question God's actions. So, no, in the end, God does not answer Job's questions. God's answer boils down to, I am God, you are not. Trust that I know what I am doing. Where were you when God made these decisions and created all things? And yet, stuck in the mire of life in this world, not seeing any possible ending to things, we are still sometimes left with these kinds of questions. Where were you, Lord? Even as we acknowledge that God is God, that we were not there to see how he set the world in place, why he does and allows to happen the things that happen, we still have questions. And we still approach him with those questions, albeit now in humility. How does God answer that question? Where are you? How do we see God with us, Emmanuel? God does not reveal himself to us out of the whirlwind as he did for Job, but in hidden, unexpected ways. In his word, he makes himself known to us and guides us to trust in him in faith. In his sacraments, he comes to us and places his spirit into us through the water, through the bread and wine, to lead us into the truth. And ultimately, it is in the person and work of Jesus Christ that God is with us. God of God, who took on human flesh as one of us, sharing in all of our trials and temptations and suffering as we do. Our gospel reading for today shows us a good example of where Jesus is during our suffering. Jesus had taught and fed the crowd in our gospel from last week, the feeding of the 5,000. Now he dismisses the crowd and goes up onto a mountain to pray while the disciples cross the sea in a boat. And then in the middle of the night, a storm comes up unexpectedly, and the disciples, experienced fishermen, at least 10 of them, are all in trouble. Where are you, Lord? And then as they are questioning, as they are trying to keep their boat from capsizing, Jesus comes to them walking on the water. The disciples fear. Peter tells Jesus that if it is him, to command him to come to him on the water. When Jesus agrees and tells him, Peter walks on the water too, until the waves frighten him. Where are you, Lord? I'm drowning. Peter cries out to Jesus, who takes his hand, who brings him and places him back into the boat and gets into the boat with them. And once Jesus is in the boat, the storm ceases. So God doesn't promise to take away the suffering of this life. Instead, he promises to be with us to endure that suffering, or strengthen us to endure that suffering, to give us a way through it. We do not face suffering in this life alone. We face it with Jesus alongside us. So yes, we do suffer. We do struggle. But do not lose hope. So yes, God does answer, not speaking out of a whirlwind, but speaking out of his word. Where is God? He is wherever his people are gathered together around his word and sacraments. Where two or three are gathered in my name, Jesus assures us, there am I among them. He does not leave us alone in our distress, but he comes to us to suffer with us and give us the strength to endure, surrounding us with brothers and sisters in Christ who will comfort and console us far better than Job's friends did. We do not know why or how these things happen the way they do. All we are given is to trust in him, to keep our hope in him as we live in this life, knowing that the one who stretched out a hand to save the drowning Peter stretched out his hands on the cross to save you as well. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.